The committee will come to order.
I like it.
Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection on Wednesday, March 9th, 2011. Good morning, everyone. We have three items on our agenda today. And the first one normally deals with liquor license issuance. And normally we would package all of the liquor bills together and we'll have a liquor bill day so we can all focus on the larger issues with liquor regulation. But in this particular case, Senator Gimsey has said there is a time-sensitive issue that he needs to deal with, and so he needs to expedite this. And I'm not sure on all of the details, but we're going to turn it over to Senator Gimsey for Senate File 551. Senator Gimsey, welcome to the Commerce Committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, for the opportunity to present and expedite this bill. Like Mr. Chairman said, this is time-sensitive in that these teams need to be able to move forward if they get the approval of their local units of government with managing their alcohol their beer and wine sales. So, what Senate File 551 does is allows the cities that host and have ballparks within their jurisdiction to issue a malt beverage, a strong beer license and wine license to the teams so that they can offer this. And I'm going to have my testifiers, who are the owners of the Wilmer Stingers, which had its inaugural season last year, talk a little bit about the league and the team, and they can probably answer better than I can what some of the challenges are that they face by only being able to serve 3-2 beer in their stadiums. It presents quite a challenge for them. But to start with, Mr. Chairman, I have an author's amendment. It's the A11 amendment.
Okay, we'll
and
pass
get
that
the bill
out
in the form that we would like to see it proceed.
Certainly, we'll pass that out. So, members, you're being passed out the A11. Members are in the different. Is this the A11 or the 112?
It's the A11. 0112.
01, yes.
I didn't draft it.
Different look to the amendment number. It's the A11, I guess we're calling it here. And members, this is an author's amendment to put the bill in the shape the author would like to present it to us in. So all of those in favor of the A11 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Gimsey, to your bill.
Mr. Chair, as I started to discuss the bill, what this will allow, again, is these franchise owners and the teams, and with a city approval, you know, and within the ordinances of the local jurisdictions, to be able to supply to their fans and customers strong beer rather than just 3-2, and also to host wine events and to serve wine and wine coolers. And you'll notice in your packets that the city of Wilmer has signed on to a resolution that was unanimously passed in support of this, and they would like to see it move forward too. One of the reasons to expedite this, and I do appreciate that, Mr. Chair, that you're willing to do that, is that in order to have 3-2 beer, the teams have to make their orders early in the spring and up front. They have to project what they're going to be able to sell during the entire season. So the challenge gets to be, if they order too much, of course, at the end of the season, they end up with a lot of supply that they can't use. But in the event that they don't order enough, they may have 2 or 3 games at the end of the season where they can't offer their fans anything. And this just makes that situation much better for our teams. But I'd like to have our testifiers talk a little bit about the Wilmer Stingers and the Northwoods League.
Sure. Thank you, Senator Gimsey. My name is Mark Jerzak, and the other gentleman here is Ryan Voss. We are the co-owners of the Wilmer Stingers, and I want to thank you for the opportunity today. But I'll give you a little background on the Northwoods League and the Stingers before Ryan kind of explains some of the challenges and some of the reasons for introducing this bill. So basically the Northwoods League, it's a summer collegiate league comprised of 16 teams, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, and Thunder Bay, Canada, actually has a team. There's seven teams in Minnesota currently, and obviously Wilmer is one of them. And the league was developed as a basically giving summer collegiate players, primarily Division I players, an opportunity to play a minor league season without jeopardizing their college eligibility. As many of you know, college baseball uses aluminum bats. In our league, we use wood bats, and we play 70 games in 75 days over the course of the summer, giving these student-athletes from around the country an opportunity to kind of have a summer internship to play basically minor league baseball without jeopardizing their college eligibility. So from the business side, we model our business right exactly like minor league baseball. So post-game fireworks, promotions, special guests, different involvement in the community to make it a fun, affordable family entertainment in these communities around Minnesota where previously they may have had minor league baseball in years past where that business model hasn't worked because of the challenges for the payroll for the players and the different things. So these summer collegiate teams are able to thrive in smaller communities in Minnesota where baseball has left. So we're excited to introduce our team, Wilmer Stingers, last season. We had a great first year. We averaged over 1,000 fans a game for 35 games in a community of 18,000. And so we're looking forward to getting going here in year two. And the Northwoods League has been a successful league for many years. And Ryan, I'll hand it over to Ryan and kind of tell you a little bit more about the reason why we're here today.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting that we educate fans on is that there's been 75 major leaguers that played in the Northwoods League since its inception since 1994. Former Twins such as Bobby Kelty and current Twins pitcher Pat Neshek as two of them. And so these players use this as a stepping stone into professional baseball. And what's unique about the Northwoods League is the number of games that are played, giving them a true minor league type of experience, playing every single day, traveling on buses throughout the upper Midwest. So what's neat is to be able to these fans to see the aspirations of these young athletes that are not paid to go to the next level and play professional baseball. And 75 of which have worn that big league uniform over the course of the league. Just to give you a real quick kind of a background, Mark and I approached the city of Wilmer about a wine license that we wanted to be able to offer more variety to our fans at the ballpark. And their response to us was that they were in favor of it. However, we needed to have the legislation changed. That currently that it reads that they're able to issue a wine license to a restaurant that has 25 seats or more and that has a percentage breakdown of 60% food, 40% sales in terms of liquor. We meet both those criteria. However, we're not a restaurant in that category. And so we're pursuing to be able to have that license. We have a stadium that has over 1,000 seats at the ballpark. And our 3-2 malt liquor license last year did not exceed the 40% of total gross sales on a nightly basis at the ballpark. The Duluth Huskies, one of the franchises into the Northwoods League, in 2005 did a similar process that we're requesting. And they were awarded to do a wine and strong beer license at Wade Stadium in Duluth. And in hindsight, I guess we had hoped that they would have taken this process to include all the ballparks in Minnesota as a part of the Northwoods League versus just themselves. However, when we sat down with Senator Gimsey, the intention was to do this as a broad, enabling these cities to grant that request if they choose versus each Northwoods League franchise coming in front of you each year and asking for this request was to be able to put the Minnesota franchises together and allowing those cities to ultimately make that decision. That's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess. We start our season on June 1st. As Senator Gimsey mentioned, the primary reason for the request is really because of ordering is one of the issues, but also the variety and to be able to have those options available for our fan base out at the ballpark.
Bittershide.
Chairman, I have a couple questions. I missed what other cities other than Duluth.
Yeah, the seven franchises in the state of Minnesota, the Duluth Huskies, which currently have the wine license and the strong beer, the Brainerd Lakes area Lunkers, Brainerd has a franchise, St. Cloud, Mankato, Rochester, Alexandria, and Wilmer being the seventh franchise.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly support the bill, and I just think it's neat. I didn't really know about this league, and I'm just wondering, you say the players don't get paid. I understand that, but do they get, like, their room paid?
Or yeah, we actually, the players stay with host families in their host cities, and then when they're on the road, for instance, when the team from Rochester comes to Wilmer to play, it's our responsibility as the Stingers to provide that team a hotel room and the three meals a day. So there's no money out of the pocket for these players to play in the league, but we provide those things for them.
Okay, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I represent Minnetonka, Plymouth, and Medicine Lake, and in Minnetonka, we have a college team that also plays at our Big Willow Park, and Big Willow is shared with our younger kids as well, but they get a strong following when they have the park, the college team. So I'm not opposed to the bill. I think I believe in local control, and the city could make those choices. But I just want to understand, are we actually opening this up so that then, in fact, a park that does serve all age groups in a community such as my park would then be able to get a license such as this?
Senator Gimsey.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoff, the way I understand the way that this is drafted, it is a license to the owners of the franchise. So it would be their decision whether the games that they're sponsoring, that they're in charge of, would be the only ones that, and the events would be the only ones that would apply under this license. So if in the event that we have a Little League playoff game hosted at the stadium, that wouldn't fall directly under their jurisdiction or their rights under that license to supply those beverages there. So that's the way I understand it.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gimsey, but there are occasions when our college guys are on one field and our younger kids are on another, and it's all in the same park. And so it's just a little more complicated than you might think because we do share fields. And so you could have the owners of that team have a license, and then you'd have to worry about how all that separated.
But I can, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonhoff, I can certainly understand your concern. And I think probably what it boils down to is being a local jurisdictional issue with the city who provides that license. They could probably create some barriers that wouldn't allow for problems of that type. But I just want to mention how well these owners do in keeping track of who is actually being served. When you come into the stadium, if you are going to buy a beer at the concession stand, you have to first stop by a separate booth within the stadium and get a wristband. Mm. And you're not allowed to buy, and they verify your identification, give you that wristband, and you're not able to buy at the concession stand unless you have that. So they're very capable and willing to make sure that underage consumption doesn't happen in the stadium. So I think it's a very good process on their part.
Okay. I have a question. Senator Gimsey, the first question I ask usually with any proposal is what problem you're trying to solve, and it sounds like this one, there's a restriction in place. You would like to be able to offer stronger beer than just the 3-2. In your research on this, or when anybody's dug into this, what was the historical reason for the 3-2 restriction in the first place? Why is that in current law? Do you know why? Does anybody know why?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Reinert might know?
I don't know, but I'm looking for recognition.
Oh, okay. All right. Senator Gibson, do you have any idea on what the historical rationale was on this?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know why it was, but I know that last year was the first year for this in the city of Wilmer, and it's kind of a trial-by-error type of approach that we're taking here. We found out that there were these restrictions because a team actually came to Wilmer and wanted to get that beer license, and the ordinance wouldn't allow it. So we're solving a problem that has cropped up in the progress of actually having a team in our community.
Okay. And Senator Gimsey, do you know, is there any opposition? Because we have not received any calls about anybody testifying against it. Is there any opposition to your bill?
Mr. Chairman, I've had a number of discussions with different individuals and people that are concerned, the League of Cities and others that were just curious about the bill and what our intent was, but no opposition that I'm aware of.
Okay. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I would take a stab at it and say it's probably for the same reason we don't have Sunday sales, but that's a whole. I've got Wade Stadium and the Huskies in my district, and I wasn't here in 2005, so I don't know why that approach was taken, but I can share with the committee that it's not an issue in our community at all. I mean, sort of as Senator Gimsey alluded, control is very well done. It's not an issue that's ever been out of hand. It's not an issue that our police department has ever seen any increased activity from. So you certainly have my support on this.
Thank you, Senator Reiner.
Senator
Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Gimsey, would you be interested in a friendly amendment that would allow the U of M to sell alcohol and sweets at the Golden
Gate? Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
It's collegiate.
Let the record show he's shaking his head no. And a frightened look on his face.
Mr. Chairman, I was shaking my head saying, don't recognize me.
All right.
I don't have to answer that question. But,
any other questions from members?
Do it.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak either in favor or opposition to this bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sparks?
I'll move the bill, Senate File 551, as amended.
Senator Sparks would move that Senate File 551, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the general orders. That's the motion. And Senator Gimsey, I would just close by saying you must be on the right track here. Anytime you're bringing college students and beer together, what could possibly go wrong?
That's right.
I move
discussion?
That comment be stricken.
Discussion, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Yeah. Discussion to the motion, Senator Bonoff.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote for the motion, but I'd feel better voting for the motion if Senator Pappas had offered her amendment and we could have sent this out.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bonoff, she hasn't offered the amendment. Senator Schein.
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't help thinking that it was rather instructive what Senator Gimsey was relaying about how they actually monitor with the wristbands, that the university might figure out a way they could do the same thing and allow everybody, all of their alumni, to have a beer at their football game, not just those people that can afford to be in the suite. So I just, there is another side to the story.
Okay. So on the motion at hand, Senator Sparks renews his motion. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
And the motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And
amendment is recommended to pass and sent to general orders. Thank you, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay. Where's my next? Next on our agenda is Senate File 191, Senator Scheid. Welcome to your committee.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Last year, the legislature established a small group health insurance market working group. That's a long name, but it was looking at a way to help small and mid-sized employers, because small employers are like from 2 to 50, and then we allow them to offer certain kind of flexible benefit plans, but when they get to the 51, 52 employees, kind of fall off the cliff in their ability to provide health insurance for their employees. So we were looking at, expand that, say, up to 100 instead of just to 50. Could we take that that benefit up to employers who had up to 100 employees? Granted, at 101, they fall off another cliff, but we're trying to do what we can to encourage employers to be able to. We know that most of them, if not all, want to offer insurance for their employees, but in most cases, just cannot. So the working group met through, the end of the summer, through the fall, and actually were able to reach consensus on one issue, and that's the bill I have before you. It's a repealer, and I believe that you have the language that would be repealed accompanying the bill. So, and I don't know if the chair knows why sometimes the reviser includes that with the bill and sometimes they don't, and they used to do it all the time, and I've only seen it a couple times this year, and I wondered if anybody else had noticed. Why, I guess I could just ask them myself, I guess.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I thought maybe they had changed the policy or something. But anyway, this has to do with Section 125 plans, which is federal tax code. And the federal tax code allows companies to establish these health plans. Well, they establish a plan there where an employee can pay for their insurance with pre-tax dollars. Now, there's no money put in by the employer other than they do the administration of these plans. And so what we've had, though, is a requirement, as you can see by what's being repealed, and that was effective in 2009, and I think this was an initiative from Governor Pawlenty. We were going to require that they had to consider, or they had to actually establish a Section 125, although there was a provision to allow employers to opt out. Well, what's happened is that virtually everybody has opted out. And so we're just, but they do have to go through the analysis of whether or not they're going to offer this plan. And so this will take away one more requirement from business. It takes it off the books. And I think that that's a positive thing. It's just a current mandate, and it appears that people are not, that the business, that doesn't appear, indeed, the businesses are not using this. I think that they had something like six companies using or opting in of all of those that looked at it in the last year or so. So pretty simple, I think.
Okay.
I'd like to, I guess I'd move the bill. I don't have any amendments.
Okay, any discussion? Questions, discussion from committee members? Pretty simple, straightforward bill. Any members? Senator Brown.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid. What was, could you review again, why was this started in the first place?
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and Senator Brown, I believe it was, I think it was an initiative from the governor. Governor Pawlenty, I mean, obviously it's been a very big issue in recent years, the issue of health insurance for everybody, but also, and we know that employers have found those costs rising and rising and rising, and how are we going to encourage them, encourage businesses to offer the insurance? This was, instead of having them offer it, this was really a choice to administer a plan that would be funded by the employee themselves. But it would, the benefit would be that the employer would carry through the administration of the tax, the withholding out of their, well, it's that they actually, it's not withholding, I guess, it's just the those pre-tax dollars, and they would be used to pay for the insurance plan of the employee. And it sounds good, and but the thing was, we required that they offer it. And then we said, but you can opt out, and everybody chose to opt out. Virtually everybody chose to opt out, and so we're just taking away the requirement that they have to offer it.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senator Brown. Senator Scheid, is there any opposition to this?
Mr. Chairman, I've not heard of any.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Seeing none and no other committee discussion, Senator Scheid, I'll ask if there's anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and speak either in favor of this proposed legislation or in opposition to it. Seeing none, Senator Scheid has moved that Senate File 191 be recommended to pass and sent to the general orders. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. And the motion
Thank
prevails.
You.
Senate File 191 is recommended to pass and sent to general orders. You want to do?
Just let her do it.
Okay,
I'm fine with that.
Okay. And members, then we'll do is we'll have Senator Gazelka needs to present a bill in another committee, so he won't be able to preside while I take up my bill. So Senator Scheid, if you would like to, you can either come here.
Thank you.
Senator Gerlach, welcome to you. Back at you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. Last week, a week ago today, on Wednesday, we heard testimony for the entire committee time for 90 minutes on Senate File 425. And at that time, I was asked, well, not at the time, but prior, leading up to that, I was asked if we would be able to delay the vote to have some more discussion offline with the proponents and opponents of the bill with different members. And it was a request that was granted. And so I know that many of you had many of those offline discussions on this issue. So now what I would like to do today is take up the bill for a vote, and the motion would be to send this bill to Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. The chairman of the committee, Senator Limmer, has asked for that because the has prohibited acts in it, and although it doesn't specify penalties, it will, as many of you know, that the minimal penalty for a prohibited act is a misdemeanor, and so Senator Limmer would like his committee to take a look at that. So that's what we'll be doing, or the motion will be to be recommended to pass and then sent to Judiciary and Public Safety when the time comes. And Madam Chair and committee members, my plan was not to rehash a lot of testimony. There is a couple letters, I think, that were distributed, some additional information, which is always good to have. So I would just summarize, if I could, very briefly, that I think the central issue here is about whether a ticket is a private property right or a lease. I'm saying it's not absolutely either, that it's in the middle, that the primary market that sells, the venue that sells a ticket, certainly has the ability to put some restrictions on that. Restrictions of everything from the date and time you're allowed to come and sit in that seat to your, you know, the behavior while you're at the venue, to the holding the venue harmless if you get hit with a foul ball or whatever it is, all sorts of those. Those are things that restrictions you agree to as you walk through that gate to that event. And those are all reasonable and rational. However, I do believe that the owner of a ticket has a property right interest, in that if they want to give or sell that to somebody else unfettered for whatever price they can agree to and have a meeting of the minds of, that should be allowed and should not be aced out by restrictions. The bill doesn't eliminate e-tickets. It just says you can't use that technology to restrict the transfer of that ticket. You've heard some testimony about the use of bots, which are the computer programs that impersonate people on the internet to buy tickets. Well, those are already illegal in Minnesota. If their practice continues to go on, it's an enforcement issue. It's an issue for the industry to come up with ways to foil the people who are trying to do damage to their customer base, however you want to look at it. It's no different than Walmart having loss prevention people in the in the stores and doing what they need to do to curb those types of illegal activities. It doesn't mean that we should let or that we should then prohibit the free transfer of people in a legal secondary market. That was the and is the central issue of the case that I bring this bill before the committee. And Madam Chair, unless there are any questions of me at this time, I would move the bill.
Senator.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. There is a very minor amendment.
Senator Gerlach, you have an amendment, and I guess we have a copy of it. It is
the A8
minor,
amendment.
The A8. Senator Gerlach is going to move the A8 amendment. I'll wait till. Actually, you're moving to amend the delete everything amendment, which is what you apparently did that at the meeting last week.
Previous meeting. Yes, Madam Chair.
So it is the A7 that's in front of us in any case.
The A7 amendment, A8. As amended, is in front of us because we did some other additional amendments as well. But the A8 amendment, members, was a request from the High School League just to add three words. So after the High School League, insert "and its members," just as clarification. We could have easily put that in last week, but it was an oversight, and they've requested that. So, members, I would urge your support of the adoption of the A8 amendment.
Are there any questions on the amendment? These are the people who are exempted from the requirement of the legislation. Is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Then on the A8 amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Now we have the Senate File 425 as amended in front of us. Is there any discussion, members? Yes, Senator Chamberlain.
Other promoters who sell these tickets about control. They can still hold blocks of tickets, correct?
Senator.
They put tickets on sale. They got 50,000 tickets in the Twin Stadium. The whole 1,000 tickets on their own, do what they want, correct?
Senator Gerlach.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Chamberlain, I'm not prepared to speak exactly how that process works. My understanding is that there are holdbacks as a normal process of when an event is being held, that there are all sorts of contractual arrangements and limitations or exceptions on holdbacks and things like that. But I couldn't speak to any specifics on how that would work, on how that does work in practice today.
Are there any other questions, members?
Madam Chair.
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, we heard a lot of testimony last week about this, and I think some could argue that maybe when we opened this up a few years ago that wasn't the greatest idea. We're back here every year making changes to the law to open this up. And, you know, we heard a lot of testimony about some of the ticket pricing practices that were happening in Pittsburgh with Pittsburgh Penguins and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But we didn't hear any of that from our local sports teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Wild, the Minnesota Twins, and the Minnesota Vikings. And so, you know, I think that they made a pretty good argument that this really boils down to, you know, do we want to help the scalpers versus the artists or the scalpers versus the fans? And I think we have to be very careful, too, because they stated that if we do pass some of these laws, there's a possibility that some of these acts might not even come to the state of Minnesota. So I think that Senator Gerlach is trying to do what he thinks is right. I think this is a pretty important piece of legislation that we're working on, and so I would like to ask for a roll call vote when we get ready to vote on this bill.
Senator Sparks has requested a roll call. There will be one. Is there any other questions? Senator Rest?
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Gerlach, you know, I've gone, as I told you before the hearing, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on this bill, 90% one way, then 90% the other way, and have kind of settled on for today being 51% in your favor. But I do think that this is a proposal that really needs a lot of scrutiny by the legislature and by other committees. I understand that the motion has to be to judiciary, but I do hope that lots of people become engaged. I appreciate the comments that Senator Spark made.
Okay, Senator, no. Any other questions or comments or concerns from members? Then the clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonoff.
No.
Senator Brown.
Yes.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka. Senator Gerlach.
Yes.
Senator Jungbauer.
Yes.
Senator Cruz.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Reinert.
No.
Senator Rest.
Yes.
Senator Scheid.
Yes.
Senator Sparks.
No.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Senator Vandeveer.
Yes.
There are 10 votes in favor and 4 opposed. The motion prevails. And yes, Senator Thompson.
Yeah, I apologize, Chair. I tried to get in before the vote, and I didn't do that. I
would echo Senator Rest's comments.
Madam Chair, you need to announce the motion first before Senator Thompson.
I apologize.
I'm sorry. Yep. The motion prevailed, and the bill has been recommended to pass and re-referred. And I should have re-read the motion, but yes.
I'm sorry.
But yes, Senator Thompson.
I just think one of the things that I would need to see, and I'm on the Judiciary Committee, is I hope we can get some real data on how prevalent are some of these issues. And the issues to me would be obviously the electronic ticketing that, you know, comes with the credit card requirement and how much of that's getting in the way of things. I voted for the bill because I think it needs some further scrutiny. I think that I'd like to know just a little bit more about what do the purveyors of the tickets do with, you know, these delayed releases of their tickets and all those kinds of things. I just think there are questions to be answered on both sides. I think it needs a further hearing, but I think, you know, I'm with Senator Rest. I think there are a lot of things I need to know.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, thank you for the comment, Senator Thompson, but the issues you just raised are the issues that are in the jurisdiction of this committee. Judiciary will deal only with the penalties and the prohibition, not the economics of it. That is not the jurisdiction of the Judiciary Committee.
Senator Rest, I think that, however, the question of property rights and that probably will be discussed in the Judiciary
rights,
Committee.
But not the electronic issue.
Yeah, Madam Chair, fair enough. And I guess I don't know that all the information I want necessarily comes out of Judiciary. I understand, and thank you for that clarification.
So, and I think there are at least three of us on this committee that are on the Judiciary Committee, Judiciary and Public Safety. So, Senator Gerlach, with that, is there any other business?
Madam Chair, there's no other
business.
Anything
you wish to announce about next week or anything? I don't know.
No, members, just stand by. Obviously, these next couple of weeks, we're going to be spending a lot of effort on budgets. And if you have any other policy bills, keep working on them, because we need them to be ready for the committee as soon as possible, sooner rather than later. So don't wait till the last minute, as we warn everybody every year about that. But other than that, Madam Chair, you could please adjourn the committee.
Well, then, thank you. And then the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.